Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, Los Angeles. My name is Monique Leray, and this is The Startup with Monique Leray. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. I'm really excited to share some things we're working on. A little bit about me. I'm a Los Angeles native, born and raised, and I'm an entrepreneur and a TV producer. So starting out in television, reality, game show, courtroom, kind of making a change to startups. The Wine Caterers was my first venture, and now I'm doing a little bit of brand placement. And I find the path of being an entrepreneur is really an interesting one, and I'd like to share that with you guys. I also want to be a catalyst for support. I want to help people who are starting up, who have a vision for their brands, who have ideas, and we want to kind of support you. I'm merging those two worlds with casting and production. So things around Los Angeles and what we're doing around here, as well as events. So I find that those things kind of come together. So let's talk about startups. What are some of your ideas? What are some of your visions that you have for your brand? I find, you know, the psychology of an entrepreneur is kind of interesting. I think that these people color outside of the lines. I think that you have to not be afraid to do things differently. So, with that said, I've found recently an article on Forbes, and the title of it is kind of interesting. It's called The Rogue Psychology of an Entrepreneur. And in this article, it talks about how you have to dare to do things differently. The founder of Skull Candy is the feature of this article, and yeah, it's pretty cool. So, anyway, today we have an amazing guest. Her name is Lainey Strauss. Hi, Lainey. there we go. I can hear you now. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you so much
for having me.
I'm so excited to have you.
I'm honored.
You're a legend, dude. Like, I totally look up to you. And, you know, how did we meet? Because I felt like it was at MTV. Can you refresh my memory? Because it's been a lot of years.
Yeah, well, let's not say that many.
we just met.
Yeah, we're all babies. I think we met through the Emmys, I think.
Yeah. Was it the Emmys?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, good. Okay. So tell us a little bit about you, where you're from, and how you kind of started getting into things around Los Angeles and worldwide.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'm from New York originally. Grew up in Florida. Moved back to New York after school. And I've moved out here. I've been here now probably 18 years. Wow. Oh my goodness.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It really does. And so I've been here a while now, and it's interesting. I didn't start out looking to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something I think originally I was looking to do. And I think sometimes if you're really open to things and you take advantage of opportunities, you really will find your path. And instead of thinking from the no place of no, I can't do that or no, I won't do that. Mm-hmm. If somebody presents an opportunity or gives you an opportunity to try something, to be open to giving that a go.
It adds to your plethora of skills.
Absolutely. And when I was younger, I wasn't afraid to step in and try things. Also, to do things initially, if an opportunity was not paid, mm-hmm. when I was younger, I was much more willing to work for an organization or for an award show or for something like that to gain those skills. Yeah. And then also to know when to stop working for free.
We just talked
about
this.
And knowing your value. So it's about willing to learn and knowing your place in the sense of don't demand things when you're starting out to the point where you're not open to learning and finding your mentors and working hard.
Yeah.
And you really, your brand, especially as an entrepreneur, or I think doing anything, is you have to be known for doing the work and having integrity and follow through. Yeah. Obviously, in Los Angeles, there's a lot of people have a reputation for flakiness or not doing things properly.
Come on, why do you think that is?
Oh, I don't know.
They blame it on the traffic. We blame it on the traffic. I didn't quite get there. Yeah.
Well, it's just I believe if you say you're going to do something, do it. Yeah. Don't promise things that you're not going to deliver on.
Yeah.
Make sure that if you really say you're going to do something, that you do it.
Well, it's true, because you're only as good as your last gig, right?
Right.
We're in that business where, you know, word of mouth is everything. And,
yes.
And I think you're right about showing up. And also, when you said, you know, saying coming from a place of yes, but then knowing when to say no, I think also, you know, and I've bitten off too much before, and then I had to just own it.
Of course.
And say, you know what, I got this wrong. I think that comes with experience, though, and time.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. But if you're starting something out, take your time to make sure you know your craft or whatever it is you're doing, whether it's an artistic venture, whether it's a business venture. Find people who know more than you. Yeah. Know what your skills are, what you know and what you don't know. Obviously, you want to stretch yourself and grow. But as you said, don't bite off more than you can chew. Know when. I'd rather be good at doing a small amount of things than doing everything poorly.
Right.
And knowing when to go find the resources to go for your help when you need it. Like, if you should have vendors for each thing that you need.
Okay.
Mentors, if you can. And it doesn't have to be like a traditional mentor where that person that like takes you under their wing and really guides you. You really need somebody who you can maybe even ask questions to, somebody that you look up to, even if it's not someone you know.
Right.
Somebody that you can read about, somebody that you can see, how did they do this?
Yeah.
But you know what? Your path is going to be different than everyone else's.
Yeah, and you can't. Yeah, and I think that a lot of experiences, you make a great point. Like when I worked at 24 Hour Fitness, some of the things I learned there, I can apply now. And
absolutely.
Everything on your path is building you to where you're going.
Yeah.
And you don't know it sometimes.
Right. You don't know it. I've been working since I was a kid. You know,
how old, Lainey? When
13,
did you start?
Yeah, I was. I shouldn't be saying this publicly because they might get in trouble.
I was 14.
Child labor. But I mean, I wanted to get some of my own money. So, yeah. I mean, we had a neighbor who had a factory, and I literally was sticking magnets on the back of pads in the summer. And I did well, and they moved me to the office, and I answered the phones, and I helped them with some accounting stuff at like 13 years old because I wanted to have cash. I wanted my own money.
Yeah.
And so I think having that willingness to work. Yeah. You know, there's too many people who want everything handed to them and think everything is easy.
I don't know any of those people.
Right.
Do you?
I'm sure there's nobody like that.
I know. I hear what you're saying.
But putting in the work, and it's not always glamorous. It's not always, and most things aren't glamorous. You think that, you know, obviously I do a lot of work with celebrities and a lot of work with people that, you know, it looks very glamorous on the outside, but ultimately it's the same hard work that everyone else is doing.
Yeah.
The expectations are higher, obviously, the higher level people you're working with.
Yeah.
You have to deliver. So there's pressure involved. But you also have to, as we said, your reputation is everything.
Yeah.
And so you really have to deliver, and you have to have the right attitude. And for me, I'm always shocked when I'm working with people who ultimately are in the service business and have a poor attitude.
Yeah.
And don't know how to manage people, don't treat them well, you know, snap at them even in an email, rude.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. If you're really trying to work, every job you have to work with people. And I think that's one of the best skills you have to have, is delivering and have your reputation is everything, but make sure you're treating people kindly. And I don't care if it's somebody you think is you know, less than you or above you, it doesn't matter. Treat every person with respect. And then you will never have to worry about, is that going to come back to you? I don't care if it's an assistant to somebody or a wait staff or whatever. I mean, I've been in all these jobs myself. I've waited. I've done this. I've done that.
Yeah.
Every job has a value. We're all contributing something.
That's right.
And we have to respect whatever someone's contributing. If you're on a set, the PA is necessary.
Yeah.
You know, the catering people are necessary. Every single person contributes their piece to the final puzzle. And you should respect every single person. And you never know if that assistant is going to be your boss.
Thank you
year.
For saying that, lady. I was going to say, it's so funny because in this casting, and just for those of you, we're going to get into your resume, by the way, so people can know. But on that point, you know, you're only as good as your last gig, and you got to treat people kindly, and you never know. Because I've had that happen where, you know, I was working for someone and then I hired them and vice versa.
Right.
You know, and you do your best. I've had a lot of teachable moments in production.
I'm sure.
I've messed up, but I own it. And I look at it as, okay, I could have done that different. And you do. You sharpen every skill with every
Absolutely.
Let's go into your resume, because, I mean, it's fascinating. So you started off, you do act, too. You've got some acting roles. So yeah. Let's start off with what you got going.
Well, it was a very interesting, I've had an interesting journey. It's not your typical lifestyle, but when I started probably in college professionally acting. I mean, I had done school plays and all that stuff, but wow. My first real professional, I mean, I did a lot of little things, but my first really big professional thing was called Emerald Chain, and I started it with this gentleman, Galen Gehrig, who's now on Days of Our Lives. He's been doing soap operas for quite many years, and this was his first acting role.
Okay.
But it was the first American telenovela.
Oh,
it was
really?
Based on a South American show that was hugely popular. And
those are juicy.
It was fun. But we had it was an open call with thousands of people, and I auditioned. It was one of those things where I just went to this mass audition. I said, I did my thing. And all of a sudden, 2 months later, I get a call. And I thought,
really?
Okay, well, I guess I didn't book that. And then I got a call, and they brought me back, and then they brought me back, and then they brought me back.
How many callbacks for this gig, lady?
Three, probably.
Okay.
And then they started pairing me with the guys and you know, being 19, that was a lot of fun. So it was great, and it was the first thing where I thought, okay, this is my path.
Okay.
And because out of all these people, they picked me, and I couldn't believe it. And it was a great opportunity, but again, teachable moments.
Right.
I didn't have the backbone to say no to crazy hairstyles, to crazy, you know, I didn't know what my look was. I didn't know what I should do. They cut my hair off. It was, I let the makeup artist. I didn't want to be seen as difficult. And this was a lesson I learned.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, you know better. And I just had this attitude of, I was so happy to be there.
The boundaries were kind of wobbly.
I just didn't know myself.
Right.
Where okay. I looked best. And it wasn't that you have to be rude or a jerk, but knowing your best is really helpful. You know, and that was something I learned from that experience, because there's some of it I looked fine in. Other parts I was horrified. Like, they put ringlet curls in my hair, and it was like Miami, and it frizzed up, and I looked like
that humidity is a beast down
no,
there.
But it was honestly, it was so tragic. So thank God this, you know, it's not really out there, but it was just
they're gonna look it up now, lady. Find this show, people.
But there are parts of it, you know, and I learned, okay, I look better like this, you know, and understanding things. And each one of these jobs taught me something.
Okay.
And if you really look at yourself and be honest with yourself, like you said, there are times I screwed up, I own it. But at least if you gain something positive from each of these experiences.
Yeah.
Also in college, I was working. So I worked at this company called, that was a live production company that did events. And this
was
really when I started to get into that. And we did things like the Olympics.
What?
All the entertainment and the shows and all the logistics stuff. And it was like four of us. And I was really young. I was still in school. And we did New York, we did Caesar's Palace, New Year's Eve, and all this stuff with great people. And Wayne Brady was one of the people at the time.
He's cool. I like him.
He was hosting with us. You know, this is earlier in his career. And so it was just an opportunity, really, to get into the production side.
Yeah.
And I had done some associate production and working on some of these, like, little films. And so it was really a building period of really learning. More about who I am, what my skills are. And sometimes you find your natural skills. Like, I had this one opportunity with a major company. It was International Pepsi. And there was a woman there who was the lead. And this was another really formative thing, because everyone was scared of her. You know, they were scared of her. She was a big wig. She was considered demanding. And I was left back while everyone else was touring with these big projects.
Okay.
And so I had to meet with this woman. And I'm like 19.
Wow.
Okay. So she wanted a discount. She's like, oh, this event's expensive. And we were renting out Vizcaya, which is in Miami. It was this beautiful mansion that everybody would rent for events. And
Star Island. I remember that area.
Right. No, it's not Star Island, but it was Miami, and it was beautiful. And
I love it.
And she wanted to do this big formal casino, like a, you know, Casino Royale thing. And she wanted trumpeteers, and she wanted all this stuff. And I literally sat with her. I said, this can cost whatever you like. And I sat with a list of all the vendors and I said, we can cross out these people and this will save you this much. And I literally just pragmatically went through and showed her, because we had to hire these people and they had to get paid.
But I like that you let in with, this could cost whatever, how much, however you want. Because and that shows a level of maturity and transparency at 19. How
well,
cool
this is
that?
What I'm saying. Instead of saying, okay, no, we can't. I came from the other saying, yes, we can, but if you don't want these trumpeteers, that will save you $3,000. If you don't want this, this will save you $5,000. No, I want that. No, I want that. Okay, then this is how much it costs.
That's a great approach.
So she couldn't argue.
That's a great approach, Lainey. Okay, that's wonderful.
But it was a big learning experience. That was a turning point for me of understanding how to work with people who are high up. They got there for a reason.
That's right.
And there was no reason to be scared of her. I just had to be at her level, which of course could be a little challenging because I was not at her level by any stretch, but she was a person.
Yeah.
And I'm a person, and she had a goal of what she wanted. Mm-hmm. And she could see that I was trying to get her to her goal. That's and right. She was understanding that I wasn't trying to take advantage or overcharge her. I just showed her what it was going to cost. And if she wanted to take something out, she could reduce the cost. But if she wanted all those elements, those people had to get paid, and that's what it cost. And she paid it. And that was the end of the conversation. And so that was a formative thing for me about that I still hold to this day when I deal with people.
Okay.
And I work with a lot of people who are very impressive and very successful. And so having that where you can sit at the table with them and be able to communicate with them as an equal and not be intimidated by them and their success, but speak to them in a way where we're business partners. I'm here to help you. I'm here to facilitate for you. I'm not trying to get anything from you. I'm here to service whatever it is our goal is.
Yeah.
And I take the ego out of it. I think that's really important.
That's key. And that, like, you know, you need a little ego to try stuff and go for things, but you definitely need to be humble, I think, in the approach. So I think that's great.
Yeah. And so I really talk to them and I'm like, it's not about me. It's about the goal of this. And if we achieve this goal together, then we're all successful and everybody's happy. And I think our people's egos get way too end up hurting them and end up causing so much of their issues because people don't want to take responsibility for mistake. They don't want to step up and say, I could have done this differently. They don't want to take responsibility. But ultimately, you have to own it and you have to work in a way where you're collaborative.
Yeah. So where do you think you drew that from as far as knowing how to approach the lady in Florida? Where did you tap in to get that?
Honestly, I think there was an instinct there that I had early on, but I think that was the only thing I had in my pocket at the time. Honestly, it was like I had what this was going to cost. I had those elements. And I just remember that being a very formative moment for me because there was like a switch that went off like, instead of going in there and shaking in my boots and being terrified of her and people were intimidated because she wanted what she wanted. Mm-hmm. I came at it from, well, we can give you what you want if you want to reduce it, but what do you want to take out?
Yeah.
And she wanted everything. She wanted all of it. She didn't want to take anything out. So then she could see, oh, well, this is what it costs.
Yeah.
And so I think coming at things from a collaborative effort instead of an attack, coming from no, the word of no again.
You got to come from a place of yes. Yeah.
And what, you want that? Great. Okay. Well, let's see what we can do.
Yeah.
And if they can't maybe get what they want because they don't have the budget, well, what can we offer you that will get you as close to that as possible?
So tell me a little bit about Teacher of the Year. You were starred in there, right?
Well, no, I was the producer on it. And actually, it's kind of a funny story because I fired myself from my own movie twice.
That's the title of your autobiography, Dad.
Exactly. I'm the only person who would produce a movie and I was originally going to star in it alongside the other folks, but to be honest, I was working so much and it's kind of, again, knowing your boundaries and knowing when you've taken on too much.
Yeah.
So for me, I had a moment where, I have a family. I have a lot on my plate. I was working full time. I had just had a lot of responsibilities. I'm producing this movie. And because with low budget, if anybody's done that, it takes a lot of drive and work and just time and dedication and hustle. Like, it's not, you don't have the staff you would on a bigger budget movie. So you do a lot of things to make sure things get done yourself.
Okay.
So I just said to myself, I'm kind of burnt right now. I have too much going on, and I really need, I'm not going to be my best in this movie. And the worst thing that I would do is not give my best performance. And if I couldn't give my 100% as a performer, I didn't want to be in it and be bad. And I didn't want to hurt the project because, again, ego, you know, people want to be the star in it. But honestly, I would rather not be in it and have a great movie than be in it and be bad, because being bad in it was not going to help me in my career, and it wasn't going to help the movie. And the movie's gone on to be a huge success.
Yes.
And now I wish I was in it.
But, but you can stamp your brand on there.
Right.
You know?
But you know what? It's very successful. It was a great film. It was a lot of fun. It was, again, another great formative experience, really pushing. And I had to negotiate prices and get the equipment and get everything done. It was a ton of work.
Break that down for people, because a lot of people want to jump in films and do it. And you know, the hours are ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Production is around the clock.
Well, one of the best tips that I would recommend to people if you want to start is make your mistakes cheap.
Ooh.
And by that, I'm saying start doing with a short film.
Okay.
Do a sketch project, like a short, like 5 minutes.
Okay.
Get your friends together. Learn your lessons for cheap. I can't tell you how many times where people get all their friends and family to donate all their money and all their savings, or run up their credit cards to clients and do their first movie. And they don't know what they're doing. And they run out of money, or they can't finish the movie, or they hate the movie, or because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so instead of making that your first project, start small. Get your friends, shoot on your iPhone, learn, and you know, if you want to direct or you want to produce, learn cheap.
That's a great piece of advice. We've got to make t-shirts with all the stuff you're sharing today.
Yeah, but it's really important, because there you learn so much from each project. Everything is a brick in the building of your wall of your journey.
That's
if you do not learn from your mistakes, and you have to have an opportunity to we all learn better from doing something.
Yeah.
So I always recommend work on other people's projects, even if, you know, maybe you're a PA, maybe you're this, maybe, you know, maybe you're getting coffee, whatever it is, be willing to do that work and hover and stay late and work with the director and just, you know, whoever's doing something to start to learn whatever it is you're interested in doing, offer to work for free in the beginning and see what it's like. Be willing to do that foundation work, because unfortunately, everybody wants to be the big shot.
Yeah.
And they want to be the producer, and they want to be the director, and they want to be the lead. But before you're the lead, before you're the director, before you're the producer, you will be better off if you were a guest star, if you were an associate producer, if you were an assistant to a producer. I mean, that's really how you learn how it's done.
That's
I highly recommend that you don't put every cent that you own into producing or directing your first project without having anything behind you.
And there's great platforms to put some content out and not break your back in, you know, YouTube and everything else. I love what you brought up about practicing on your friends. And I did that with the wine caterers. I catered my friend's wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, I missed part of the wedding, which I would have done, you know, I would have done a little differently. Maybe had
hopefully
an assistant.
Hopefully they videotaped it.
Yeah, you know, I caught some of the good stuff, but, you know, I was able to test it out on them and offer them great wine and an experience and get honest feedback, because they love me and they'll tell me the truth.
Right.
That's great. And I think also you reminded me when I was a PA, you know, and then you get to the casting producer and such.
Right.
But you learn to pitch shows that you can cast.
Right.
Because you know how hard it is. You're in the streets trying to pull people in. And
right.
so knowing those positions and having all of those positions and experiences, I think makes it better.
Yeah.
You know?
And you know what? You never know where life is going to take you. And sometimes while you're working with somebody or helping them out and they see that you're a hard worker and that you do what you say and you're responsible, they may look at you and give you an opportunity, because it's hard to find good people. So if you show that you're one of those good people, and the reason why I am where I am, whatever that is, is
own
because,
it though. Own it.
It's because I have consistently worked my butt off, delivered for people. And then they will recommend me, or they will hire me, or they will refer me. And that's literally the only way to really move up the ladder is by building that network of people who believe in you, who want to work with you.
Well, your vibe attracts your tribe, they say, right? So I think
like that.
And I think, you know, when you fix your vibe to what you want, you get all the layers and all the people around you, and you build your own team.
Right. And treat people well.
Yeah.
And with respect. And no matter how frustrating things are, no matter how rude someone else is to you, keep your cool.
That's really great advice
because
I don't think people understand behind the scenes with production, you know, how crazy it can get.
And people get tense because there's deadlines, there's a lot of pressure. But if you can keep your cool.
Yeah, it's an asset.
Even when you're upset. Learn how to deal with someone in a calm way. And it doesn't mean that you don't let them get away with whatever. It just means learn how to keep your cool while you're discussing an issue. I've had people who've really been out of line with me, and it doesn't mean that I don't let them know that it's not okay.
How do you do that, Lainey, in a constructive way? Give us a real example of something,
right? I mean,
perhaps.
Part of it is, you know, killing them with kindness, but also if you are respectful back, and particularly if you can talk to them in person, because you'll be shocked, like somebody write a nasty email or whatever, but when they're face to face,
it's a whole different
ball game. They're not going to want to necessarily say the same thing to your face.
I agree.
So if you can, I've had those conversations where it's like, hey, the reason why I asked you this is because someone's asking me. I'm not trying to give you a hard time. That information was not communicated well.
Yeah.
We just need to have a better communication about it. So, or, hey, I'm sorry if you misunderstood my intention when I asked you this question, or I understand. Sometimes it's, I understand that you're going through a lot of stress right now.
That's good. Right.
I understand that everybody's working hard and everybody's tired, but you know, we need to have this conversation because we need to be able to work together well.
Yeah.
And again, removing the ego out of it, making it about getting the project done and that we're all on the same team and having that focus.
I like that. I think that my new saying in my internal dialogue with myself is I don't need to be right. I just want to get it right.
Yes.
And so that is removing the ego. And your work speaks for you, the value that you're building. You don't have to, you know, people, you know, you don't have to tell people when you're doing it. They see it.
Right. And I used to get more upset when people would, you know, sometimes people would yell at me or get in my face about something. And some of it's not even, you have no control over it.
It's not about you. Yeah.
It's not about me. So learning that, taking yourself out of that equation, you know, if it's raining and they're pissed because we're supposed to shoot outside and it's raining and they're yelling at you because they're angry about the weather. Your fault.
Has that really happened to you? Wow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're just angry about whatever. And so they take it out on you, regardless of the fact that obviously you have no control over the weather. But people are pissed. And so they just start attacking whoever's around them. So what I've had to learn is it's not about me. And instead of getting upset about it, I let it wash over my head and not take it in.
Don't take it on.
And we've talked about this, but my personal mantra is I can only do what I can do.
Yeah.
And that has been really powerful. If you really, really take that in, it sounds very simple.
It is.
Yeah. But it's about letting go of things you have no control over and understanding you can't control everything. And you only have control over yourself.
Yeah.
But I know when I'm my best and when I behave at my top level, people treat me better.
Yeah.
And better results happen to me. So the control over my own self and my own best behavior and best attitude, and when I am good and I'm treating other people well, good things do come back to me, and people do appreciate that, whether or not they say anything or not. Those are the people who will come back and say, hey, it was so great to work with you, I'd really like to bring you in on this, or hey, you know, I mentioned you to this other person.
That's
how you build a brand, and that's how you build whatever it is that you want to do, whether it's being a producer, whether it's being an entrepreneur in a tech business or a wine business, whatever it is, I feel like that applies to everything.
Yeah.
And the great part is people will root for you. People will want to step in and help you. And if you have moments where you can do someone a solid and it doesn't cost you that much, do it.
Yeah.
And you may not think it's that big of a deal But that person will remember, and whether or not even they make a big deal about it, I feel like that's how you build those relationships where people want to support you.
I've gotten jobs from that.
Of course.
It takes no time at all to refer. And in the casting community, in reality TV, we always refer each other things, you know, and it's good. Lower Merion Productions?
Yeah.
Is that your brand, darling?
That's a production company, yes. And it's been great because, honestly, being an entrepreneur actually found me in a way. Mm-hmm. I was working for other people and I was looking for a job and someone asked me to do a project and it went well and they asked me to do more. And then I got referred to someone else. I got referred. And then before you know it, I was booked for a year.
Wow.
Doing production, doing major live events, doing all these things. And before you knew it, I was full. I was like, well, I guess this is what I'm doing now. And
one thing leads to the next.
Right.
So that's cool.
Right. But it's I feel like if you do that and people start referring you, before you know it, you will have opportunities.
Yeah.
And those opportunities can help you build that brand. And my brand, when I think of what my brand is, it's like, you know, we'll say GSD means get stuff done, but it's really about delivering. It's really about doing what you say, mm-hmm. and knowing what you can do and what you can't do, and making sure that you don't make promises you can't deliver on.
Right.
And that's really important. So if it's something that I'm going to try to do and I'm not 100% sure I can deliver on it, I will say, let me work on that for you and see what I can do.
And then bring someone in that can co-produce it with you, that knows, that has the experience.
Or have your vendors, like, know people in your field that do those things. Because obviously as a producer, I need someone to do lights. I need someone to do sound. I need someone to do the physical staging or costumes or whatever. And you have to have those resources. So if you want to be that person, start to meet these people, know people all over in all different fields, because you can work together. And just like you said, you've referred people, they will refer them to you.
Yeah.
So you never know who's friends with who.
You never know who knows someone. Yeah.
Right.
I wish I had really embraced that when I was younger because, you know, you burn some bridges that you didn't mean to because you could have handled it differently. But
right.
I teachable moments. And Lower Merion, I really am interested in the name. Like, where does that come from?
It's an area in Philadelphia.
Okay.
So, we're from the East Coast, and it's a high school where Kobe Bryant went to school. So
what?
Some people know it. So people from there know the name.
Okay.
And it's actually a conversation starter, but we did it under the banner for Teacher of the Year, and it's grown into a multi-dimensional corporation.
Yeah.
So we had to incorporate, we had to do all these things, you know, with
congratulations,
success.
By the way.
It grew. Yes. And so we have a live event division, a nonprofit. We have, so I work with a lot of nonprofits. Mm-hmm. We also, and we have a production, TV and film production division. And we have someone who works with us on PR. So it's because that's just a need for all of the clients that we work with. Nonprofits need it. And this gives us an opportunity to be more full service.
How'd you get into that? I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah.
The nonprofit section of your umbrella. How did you get into that?
Well, my first real gig with that, it's interesting, again, you know, you talk about whether or not the universe is driving something or not, but I had said to a friend of mine, I would love to do what I do and have it help children.
That's
I just
cool.
said this comment out loud to her. 2 days later, I got a phone call from St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. They had a role to handle the Western region for events and all that kind of stuff, like the major, major events.
That's some powerful manifestation. Within 48 hours, can we do that with $1 billion, please?
Yeah, we have to. Yeah, exactly. I wish I should have done that. I have to be more careful for what I wish for, because some of the things are not exactly what you think they are. So be careful what you wish for.
Be specific.
Be very specific. but that was, again, another formative great experience for me. It was a very difficult job, round the clock job, because I was in charge of events all over the West Coast. So there was a lot of local travel, but still just meetings at night, because the committees would meet after work and there was a lot of impressive people, and you know, you work with celebrities and you work with local press and different things depending on the event and the project and high wealth donors. And so it was a bit of a boot camp for me in terms of that process. Okay. And because they didn't divide things up the way most companies do, where they'd have somebody who handles sponsorship and they would have an event person and they would have a PR person and they would have, there were so many different jobs that they expected you to oversee.
Okay.
And for so many things all at the same time. So it was a bit of a boot camp for me. I had to learn about how to manage all these different aspects, which then translated for me to do this for other people. So, I mean, that was a very formative thing for me, and it's a great organization and I work, but you know, my father passed from colon cancer last year.
I know. I'm so sorry, Lainey. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud. I work with F Cancer, letsfcancer.com. And, I love the organization cause it's about prevention and early detection, and we provide resources to get people free screenings who can't have them, because a lot of times people who don't have the money or resources don't find out they have cancer until it's too late. They don't go get the early detection.
I hear that a lot about.
So they go to the emergency room because they have something awful and then it's too late. So we want to make sure we're providing those opportunities. Plus it's psychosocial support. So if you are going through it or have a family member going through it, there's a whole group of people that are going through it and they can help you with resources. Mm-hmm. To talk about what you're going through and to be supportive for you. So it's a beautiful thing, and they do amazing, you know, we do amazing events. We have great programs. So I'm really proud to work with them.
Okay.
And I'm working with Ellen DeGeneres on the Ellen Fund.
I know. This is going to be cool. This is coming up in
October.
So before we get to Ellen, I have one question about the screening. What is a good or an advisable age to begin that kind of thing?
I think you need to know your own risk. So, you know, everybody needs to be getting their regular checkups. And if you have a history of cancer in your family, the time when you would want to start doing that would be earlier.
Okay.
So, for example, if you have a history of breast cancer in your family, that's something you really want to monitor, because and you can find out your BRCA gene situation if you carry the gene. Mm-hmm. Obviously those are very different conversations, and I wouldn't want to say there's one better time for anyone. That's really a conversation with somebody's doctor.
Okay.
But it's really important that you know your risks, you know what it is you're at risk for, and it may manifest differently for you. And for example, my father had colon cancer. His parents didn't have cancer at all. They passed from other things altogether. But his brother died from pancreatic cancer, and he died from colon cancer.
Oh, wow.
So don't assume because it doesn't run in your family that you won't get it.
Okay.
So it's not to scare people. But you should know your risks and be prepared and go get those screenings. And certain types of people are more susceptible to certain types of cancer. Like the African-American community is more likely to get colon cancer.
Okay.
So those people... like African-American men tend to not get screenings more than other groups.
Yeah.
So Swiss Beats did a great PSA for us to encourage, because he lost one of his close friends to colon cancer.
Oh, no.
And so he was kind enough to do a PSA to promote that, and got a colonoscopy and promoted it to try to let people know it's not hard and it's not that bad. And to do it, because it could save your life.
There's some, I think, some stigmas around getting a checkup in that area of your body.
Yeah,
for a lot of
look,
men,
I'm sure
right?
nobody wants to do a lot of this stuff. I mean, women don't want to get, you know, those
we got to go to that.
Yeah,
I know. Every year, it's fun. It's a party.
I know, but you know what?
You got to do it.
It's an uncomfortable few minutes, and it could save your life. And knowing your risks is very important, because that will change how you handle your medical decisions throughout your life based on your history, what kind of genes you carry. And knowing that is very powerful. And there's people who are adopted who may not know their family history.
That's a really great point.
So getting your checkup. Yeah. Getting your checkups and getting your testing, because sometimes people will miss things. It could be a very small bump or a small something, and you don't necessarily catch it.
Get your checkups, people. Don't forget. That's a really great message. And it's called Let's F Cancer. We did that.
Yes. Yes,
okay, good. It's coming up during the holidays, I think, right?
Well, we're going to do our next gala probably in March now. We're just finalizing.
Spring? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
So we're excited about that. But we have events throughout the year for all different groups. There's college events. There's club events. There's great stuff. So anyone who wants to get involved, definitely check us out.
Ellen's thing's coming up October 12th, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that. It's exciting.
Well, I'll have to tell you after. Oh, I can't reveal too much.
Okay.
There's lots of fun stuff.
High level girl right here.
I know.
That's cool. That's fair enough. But she does great work.
Well,
so
that's for wildlife and conservation and helping endangered animals. So it's lovely. Yeah.
We got to
take
bears.
That seriously. The gorillas.
The gorillas.
The gorillas.
What's going on with the gorillas?
Well, they're almost extinct, and now they've gone from like about 800 to over 1,000 now, and they're building a campus in Rwanda.
Okay.
So they're doing great work and helping those animals. And to be honest, we don't realize how close we are. We share 98% DNA with those gorillas.
Wow.
They're pretty, they look, it's scary how human they look.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And there's an ecosystem that people don't think about and how important all of us are to that and how that affects, you know, our own survival and whether we have oxygen to breathe and whether the Amazon is on fire. People are like, well, that's not my backyard. Well, but that provides one out of every four or five breaths that we take on this planet. So it's kind of important.
Education about your, if you don't have a planet, you're not going to do too well.
You don't have oxygen. Yeah. The human race isn't going to do too
well. It's kind of priority number one.
It should be pretty important, but you know.
I hear you.
So, everything's intertwined. I mean, that's also having toxins in our air and our food.
Yeah.
Affects whether or not we get cancer and other diseases.
That's right. You know, and it's interesting how this kind of, I can relate that to entrepreneurship for myself.
Yeah.
I actually took a challenge myself. I said, all right, before my 40th, I'm going to do something that can change my health and my energy level.
Because
you work around the clock as an entrepreneur, you have people and clients in different time zones, and you have to stay and keep your energy. So I took away meat. So red meat's gone, chicken, poultry's gone, and pork. I haven't had a piece of bacon in almost like a year and a half. I think it's been longer. I lost track. But my energy has gone up because, you know, I'm always going to drink wine. I'm a wino. We know that. That shit's not going to change. But, you know, I've been eating vegan meat and the Beyond meat, and I'm sure that helps the planet a little bit. It helps my planet, you know, so.
The planet of Monique is in
good
shape.
Yeah, the energy, darling. It is. It's true. But I think, you know, if you could do one thing healthy for yourself, it relates to your energy and business and how you treat people and how you feel.
Yeah. Well, honestly, every disease is helped by treating your body better.
Yeah.
And your lifestyle choices make a huge difference in the result. And so a lot of times people don't feel like they have control over whether or not, and not to say that you know, you can be in great health and still, unfortunately, I'm knocking on wood now, get something.
Yes.
So I don't want to imply that you have complete control over it. But a lot of diseases, you know, cancer, 50% of them are preventable.
Okay.
Alzheimer's disease is impacted by exercise. You're 70% less likely to get it if you're at certain fitness levels. You know,
your fitness level is great, by the way. What are you doing for cardio these days?
Working.
working
a lot.
Yeah.
But I run around a lot. I do try to get in some yoga on the weekends, honestly.
You do?
And that helps with just having time. I think everybody needs to have time where you can have quiet, where your phone's shut off, where you just have time to
introspection,
to recoup.
Recoup.
And just relax and, you know, maybe take a bubble bath or just something that gives you time. You do have to make some room for that. It's really important because you can burn out. It's very easy to burn out. So I tend to have really intense work periods, and then I look forward to those times when, you know, in the summer things tend to slow down a little bit, and during the holidays sometimes, depending on what, you know, what projects I'm working on. But hopefully those times when everybody else shuts down too are wonderful, because then it's not like you're not accomplishing some work. It's just that everyone shut down, you know, the end of December. And
those times are a little low, like summer and then Christmas and Hanukkah and everything.
Exactly. But, it's a good time to really make sure you're taking time for your families and that you sleep and get your rest. But don't wait. I mean, that's one of the things. Sleep is important for your health as well.
I think
you really need to get your rest. And sometimes I'm a hugely guilty of not getting enough sleep, because I'm working with a company now that's based in China.
Oh, wow.
And so sometimes I'm on the phone with them at midnight because that's the afternoon there. And so those things are like a little bit challenging because I'm working both sides. And then I've got people in New York, so I'm on the phone with them at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. And then you're sleeping, you know, maybe 5 hours.
I take naps now. I'll say, okay, I got to call my client in Bali, which is kind of cool. I can say that. And then I'll take a little nap and know that I'll be up at a certain time to speak with her.
If you can make that work. I'm not a napper, which I wish I was.
Yeah,
but,
just an hour.
No, it's great if you can pull that off. It's good. And I think knowing yourself and knowing what's best for you to get your stuff accomplished. And some people are night owls. They'd rather sleep till 10 and, you know, work late, and that's where they work better. So learning what works for you is really important as an entrepreneur. Like, if you are working at, if you're opening a club and your business is at night, knowing how to schedule your time to be the most efficient and to get what you need done, but to be responsible. I can't tell you how many people are not responsive to emails or phone calls.
I hate the non-follow-up, man. I can't, I got to work on myself on how to not be so, I love when someone's responsive.
Right.
I don't know how you're not.
No, and I had somebody yesterday who said, thank you so much. You were so responsive. And I'm just, but that's important. It's
so important,
the follow through. And I understand it can be hard when there's a lot going on. You forget.
Yeah.
So put it in your calendar. Make a list. Whatever works for you. Again, knowing yourself. Like, if you're somebody who, I need to schedule all my calls in my calendar. I need to. And even if it's something, not a meeting, but a pickup or something I have to do, I have to put everything.
You're a visual learner. Like, you have to have it written out.
Well, just because you'll forget.
Yeah.
And even if you think you won't forget, sometimes you're on a phone call and you lose track of time because it goes longer than you expect.
Yeah.
So I have to have those reminders. So it pops up on my phone going, you have to do this in 5 minutes. You have to do this in 10 minutes. So that I can gracefully wind off a call, because sometimes, you know, you're speaking with somebody and you're it's going well, or you're in the midst of something, and you have to stay on top of it so you're not running late for other people. And I also, I know this is weird in LA, but I am on
punctual.
Time.
Punctual.
I am on time, and I show up, you know, maybe 5 or 10 minutes early if it's something important, because even for friends, honestly, because with traffic and all the
that's
stuff
not
that
an excuse in LA anymore, right? We know what it is.
Well, we all know, but we now we have MapQuest. Now we have all these things
that, and Sepulveda,
and you know, you have things where you can you should put that in before you leave the house and see if not to say that.
It happens.
Things happen. There's an accident in front of you. Sometimes, again, things are out of your control.
Yeah.
But that will save you a lot. And it's about respect for the other person
you're
meeting.
That's a big point. You've got to, and people don't realize, and it's a selfish thing. It's sometimes passive aggressive because you don't want to be there, but just say that.
Or because
respect
you,
my time.
You feel, well, they should wait for me, or it doesn't matter if I'm 5 minutes late. But for me, you don't know if they have a meeting right after you.
That's so good.
And
that's
you
key.
Could be making someone else late for another meeting, and
that's not cool.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Or if you're too late, they may cut your meeting short, or say, okay, I have to go now. I have to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so you never know what somebody else's day is looking like. And I've had people shift their meetings constantly, and it screws up my schedule. So,
I had a casting director do that. Yeah. She'll say, all right, we're going to meet at 3:12 p.m. today instead of 3 o'clock. You're not going to forget 3:12. And you're like, why 3:12? And it was kind of an interesting way she did it. But she was a stickler for time, and I learned a lot. She knows who she is. She's awesome.
But, you know, if you're doing that to somebody last minute, if it's okay if there's like in the minute, the meeting may be a 5 minute, you know, catch up in an office. But if you really want to be with somebody for an hour, if you had it at 3 and somebody changes it to 3:15 because they're running late.
Yeah.
And you have a meeting at 4.
Right.
Or you have a meeting, or you plan to take that 12 minutes to drive to your next appointment.
Or get something to eat. Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Yeah. That could screw up your whole schedule. So I also plan buffers between my meetings.
Okay.
To prevent myself. And still, I could be running tight, but I definitely work to leave room in between and know how long it's going to get from one place to the next place. Because
I love that.
You need to know that. And it's easy enough. Literally, you just look it up on MapQuest and you go, okay, you know, this takes me about 20 minutes. I'm going to leave myself a half hour minimum in between or whatever.
Right.
And it is. It shows respect for the person you're meeting. And I know there's this thing about fashionably late or whatever it is. And if it's a party where it's just you come and you go and it's not that rigid, that's fine.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about a business meeting,
you got to be there.
You should be there. And you know what? When you're on time, people will start to be on time for you because they know you're on time. A lot of people go, oh, that person's always late. I know they're 15 minutes late every time. I'm not going to be on time.
Crazy.
But then other people will not be on time for you because they'll assume you're going to be late.
That's a great point, but you really do just get what you give. It's just the bottom line.
It's true.
With everything.
It's true.
So now we're almost done. I'm so excited. Every time we get together, we have a good time and we chat.
Yeah.
Can you just tell us what is going on immediately for you and give us your handles and your plugs and where we can find you and how we can support your causes?
Okay. Well, on Instagram, I'm at All Good Things Worldwide and at Lainey Strauss. So All Good Things Worldwide, I love to promote the nonprofits, the events, good things. If you have anything you want me to share, let me know. I'm not obsessed with the social media, so I am growing it, but it hasn't been a priority, honestly, because I've been working so much. But now I'm actually going to really get into the
world.
You're
going to embrace it.
And I'm embracing it.
Okay.
I'm growing.
Yes, I hear you. I hear you.
So,
right on.
Yeah, so I am working on that. And I've been really blessed to work with a major film fund on some big projects coming up. So there'll be more to come. And maybe I'll alert you to them as
That's
I'm
exciting.
Allowed to announce the projects.
Absolutely.
But yeah, there's lots of really interesting projects coming up. And I'm working with some great people, and I really love to help people and work with people who are up and coming, who really have it together and want to work hard. Yeah. So I'm always looking for great people because I do so many things and I need someone who really has it together and does what they say. And it's really simple. But when I find somebody like that, it's really refreshing. Somebody who's proactive.
I love that. Proactive and adding value.
Right.
That's all I have to do.
And then you're in for me.
And then
it
you're
doesn't
in.
Take that
I can
much.
Depend on you.
Exactly. Because that's huge.
It's huge.
That's huge.
Thank you so much, Lainey, for taking time. I know you're super busy and it's an honor to have you as my first guest.
Thank you for having me.
Yay. You guys follow Lainey Strauss. She's awesome. And get involved in some of her charities. I think it's the right thing to do. It's, if you're feeling like charitable and you want to help out, check her out. Okay. So it's been a great first show. My nerves have settled and it's great to have her here. I want to give a shout out to my sponsors this week. Tokimi Health. They are doing a lot of CBD oils and doggy gummies. CBD is huge. Call my girl Deborah at 314-368-3346 and she'll give you all the info for that. They make great treats and gifts for whatever things you're doing. Tokimi Health. And I guess the hashtag for that is hashtag CTFO, creating the future opportunity or outlook. I think that's what
Great.
It's called. Yeah. CEI is my other sponsor. Thank you so much, CEI. Jeff Lewis Photography. So not Jeff Lewis from, I guess he's got a reality show. He's cool too, but
right.
I'm not on that level yet, right? But I dig him. Jeff Lewis Photography.
Oh, you're at that level, honey.
I love you. Hanging with your ass, I am.
Yeah.
Michael Solberg Family Wines. A shout out to Leah Solberg. She's amazing. Second generation wine family. She does a great blend with Merlots. Well, it's not quite a blend, but she does a little hybrid. She adds Pinot to her Merlot.
Nice.
And then vice versa for the Pinot, adding Merlot
Next time
Pinot.
I'll try that.
I'm going to bring you some.
Okay.
You've got some coming.
Sounds good.
And I think that's it, you guys. Thank you so much. Let's see what you can start up this week, and we'll get back to you next Sunday. Cheers.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.